This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Network. Would you go be a bitch somewhere else, please?
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210. Today's episode is Season 9, Episode 1, The Morning After. There's got to be a morning after. Now, here are your hosts, Tari Ariano and Sarah D. Bundy.
It's season 9.
Season 9.
9.
9.
Reminding you that you can purchase an ad on this podcast. Go to previously.tv/ads for more information about a message that is $50 if it is personal and $100 if it is commercial. I don't know why I did it that very weird way.
Thanks. Thanks,
Let's
Yoda.
Get it. What?
I said thanks, Yoda.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. Let's start with our C plot this week. Donna meets the parents. So Donna and her frosty eyelids are on Noah's stupid boat eating Odie's, which you can see in the visual aids, as
of course.
Noah on the phone fights with his mother about going to his dad's birthday dinner. And Donna totally gets the situation as she offers to buy his dad a present, even though Noah is in the process of refusing to go. And Noah is obviously like, please don't. And when we see Noah next, he's once again telling his mother to get him out of this birthday thing. But Donna ignored Noah and bought his dad some cufflinks over his specific instructions otherwise. He wants her to drop it and goes to wait outside to take her to lunch, which is when she picks up his cell phone, hits redial, gets through to his mom, and accepts the invitation. This is extremely not okay, right? We agree?
Yeah, definitely. Also, I mean, all right, she can't know who his dad is played by,
right.
So it's unacceptable. I will say that if I did know that it was the devil, Ray Wise,
yeah, of course,
I would probably do the same because he is great. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, you don't do that. And Noah should have made her go to the thing by herself. I've been like,
yeah.
Look, I said I wasn't going. You got him a gift. You got yourself into it. Enjoy.
Yeah. But also, like, maybe this is the tough lesson you need to learn. Fucking boundaries, Donna. Everything you do is not cute just because of who you are.
Ugh. Nope.
So when Noah finds out what she did, he reasonably yells at her for accepting the invitation on his behalf without talking to him and tells her about his very strict and joyless childhood. And then we're at dinner at the Hunters. So it's in this elegant dining room, even though I believe up until this point, all we've heard is that they lived back east. Like, whose house is this?
Yeah, I don't know.
And anyway, the dinner
maybe
is
maybe it's like Chateau, like Airbnb Chateau. I don't know.
Well,
rich people, I wouldn't know.
Because the other thing is, like, if they had been around, like, this would have come up before, but whatever. The dinner is indeed awful because Noah's dad sucks, as we hear in clip two.
And Noah tells me that you have your own business.
Do we have to quiz her?
Well, no point in owning your own business anymore. Not with government regulators, the damn IRS.
More lamb?
No, thank you. It was wonderful.
In the old days, government used to stay out of it. Let a man pursue his dream.
Even if that dream ruined the environment, right? The oil and chemical companies never met a clean water bill they couldn't oppose.
Business built this country.
No, people built this country. Business just got rich off it.
I think your father's gonna love his birthday present, don't you?
Yeah, his present, right? Happy birthday.
You shouldn't have.
I didn't.
You know, when Noah was a little boy, he used to love fixing my afternoon cocktail. One finger of gin after a good day, two fingers after a bad one.
And three when he wanted to take it out on us.
You can only imagine how I feel knowing how instrumental I was in launching his so-called career.
I guess that's the end. I thought there was music. Whoops.
I mean, I really feel like my silence speaks for itself.
Sorry. Yeah, I love how Noah is up on his high horse about this, as if he isn't constantly throwing his money around. Like, you can't have it both ways. If you think it's dirty, unethical money, then don't take it and don't spend it. You're an adult. You don't have
Or spend it on something like the Riverkeeper project.
And sure.
Like, you know, if you're that going to be that much of an early 20s pinko about, you know, the blood money of your forefathers, then spend it on causes and not right. on your girlfriend's parents' boat that they sold. Like,
oh, God.
And if you don't, if you can't be nice, don't go to the dinner.
Yeah, you weren't required to go. That was your choice. Don't be a dick. I mean, do be a dick because your dad's a dick, but also, like, just don't see him. That was your option, and you chose to go. So when we see Mr. Hunter next, he is stalking Noah to the club, getting brayed at by Same, but he is complimentary about it on business grounds, despite the smooth jazz that is playing on this particular night. We find out that he came by not to apologize for being shitty, but to tell Noah that they're broke. Wah, wah.
Womp, womp.
Yeah, the short version is tax problems that this old family of extremely wealthy oil barons was somehow not prepared for. Like, I watched Trust. I know how this shit works. This is not plausible. No. But that's where we leave it. On to the B plot. Val and David let Steve be part of their bullshit for a change. So at the beginning of this storyline, we still don't know what the results were of Val's HIV test, as she and David are sitting at a scenic overlook. But over the course of the scene, turns out she has a new appreciation for nature and life and got an undeserved second chance. So it was negative, and they discuss it in clip 3.
We got a do-over here. This incredible, joyous,
completely undeserved second chance.
We've been over this.
Then let's go over it again. Please.
We took a blood test, Val, not a test of character.
Thank God.
And it came back negative. Yesterday, you tested negative for HIV.
Now, but I still have to take another test in 6 months.
It's a good thing. You should be happy.
Okay, it's a do-over, not a do-over. Is A. Yeah. B. What? Where is this pasta fazool accent coming from?
Yeah,
fucking Logan Eccles. Now, third of all, shut the fuck up. And fourth through tenth of all, shut the fuck up. And also shut the fuck up. Like, why? Why does he have to be such a rag all the time?
Yeah. Yeah, why is he mad at her for this reaction? Like, it doesn't affect him at all. He's just being a prat. It's dumb. Also, Val, how many times do we have to tell you, please make other friends? Thank you. This is long overdue. So then Steve is at the Restoration Hardware on the 3rd Street Promenade returning gifts from the wedding when Laura Layton ices out his attempt to chat her up and then does a cash short con at the register. And she comes running out to where Steve is parked on this pedestrian mall and decides to be friendly, asking for a ride slash him to be her getaway driver. And it works. They are gone as the clerk comes running out. Steve is curious about whatever just happened and lets her tell him some bullshit. Also, she is not Sydney. She is Sophie. So get it right. And later that day, Val is still having a philosophical debate with David about whether she deserved to be spared HIV given her many misdeeds in life. Nat comes by to take their order, and Val disgustedly says nothing looks good and that Nat needs to update his menu, and David tells her that honesty is good, but she shouldn't be brutal. Speaking of, he's on his way to a jingle meeting for some product he hates, but is going to fake liking so he can pay his bills, aka having a job. Then Sophie and Steve are at the Walsh house having coffee. She has told him that she is studying biology at CU, and he has chosen to believe it as if she didn't also tell him she fled a store rather than pay for shit she broke. And he's impressed that she's in LA to do something other than seek fame and fortune. She needs to find somewhere to live because she's on the waiting list for a CU dorm room, and he offers to let her and her erect nipples stay there. You can see those in the visual aids.
Yeah.
It
is chilly. Very. Chicken's done.
Yeah. So in David's meeting with Kyle, the director he met through Val, David is poo-pooing the offer of a national ad like that isn't going to earn him six fucking figures at least. Also is acting as if he is starring in all these commercials as like no one will know or care who composed the music. Just don't tell anyone. It's fine. But he wants to be doing movie scores and he knows Kyle has a film in post-production. The way to be considered for this job is to not be a pissy bitch about the work he is giving you, you entitled child. But instead of saying that, Kyle says that David doesn't have the experience to compose a score, and David hilariously overplays his hand in clip four.
I'm too good to be doing jingles.
Is that right?
Ah!
Well, I suggest you don't write them anymore.
Fine. Acne medicine sounds great.
No, I don't think it's a good idea. I wouldn't want you to stoop so low.
Whoops. It looks so good on him. I love
Bye,
it.
Bye, Felicia. Idiot. Oh my God, what an idiot.
It's perfect. So Val, as part of her campaign to be a better person, comes by Kelly's table at the club and says she figured that if Kelly couldn't make it work with Brandon, she couldn't make it work with anyone, but hopes she's wrong. We will get to Kelly and Brandon soon enough. And the next day, Steve is happy to tell Sophie, who slept in his bed and his shirt, that she can live there. Where? And we cut to her diary where, she's trying to make it in show business and can now check off the first item on her list, which is find a place in Beverly Hills. And Val is proud.
It's like a proto bullet journal.
Yeah.
It's so basic that it's like, move to LA, find a place to live, be famous.
Uh-huh.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. So Val is proud of David for being honest with Kyle, even though he got himself fired, which he is blaming her for somehow in clip five.
Well, the important thing is that you told the truth.
No, I was fired, Val. That's the important thing.
Wait, you're acting like it's my fault.
No, no. You gave me bad advice. It was my fault for listening to it.
True.
Fuck all the way off, by the way.
Seriously.
Like, she never said, go in and, you know, what you could have said was, I would like to be considered for the score, and in the meantime, I'm happy to do your acne medicine jingle. Like, that's what any sensible person would do, you idiot.
God. It's my fault for taking your bad advice. Like, yeah, it is. So fill your fucking condo pants with rocks and walk into the sea already.
Honestly.
Dick smack. So
Steve brings Sophie to the club where she does her cash con on David, except he catches her. Clip six.
So try that often, or do I just look especially stupid?
Stupid.
Door number two.
I mean, actually it's both, but she says he looks great. Steve shows up to take them to a table.
Soaked
and introduce
right and wrong again, soapster.
Steve shows up to take them to a table, introduces David. Somehow Sophie knows his name as an individual responsible for that song, and he's all weird about it, but she gives him another lascivious look back over her shoulder, so trouble ahead. And Val tries to warn Steve that he's in over his head with Sophie, and when he has gone off to pout, David decides he's in a position to assess Val's character again in clip seven.
Well, let's see. So far, you're dedication to the truth has managed to cost me my job and insult, annoy, and generally piss off Kelly, Nat, and Steve. Nice.
Did you prefer it when I lied?
No.
Then how come you can get angry with me when I tell the truth?
Because, Val, you're using the truth like you use lies. To push people away. Instead of opening yourself up with honesty, you club people over the head with it.
Well, people get what they deserve.
Everyone except you.
Now he's on the deserve train? What the fuck?
Yeah. Also, she's not getting what she deserves. What she deserves is completely different friends mm-hmm. who value her schemy talents.
Yeah.
And to get off the show, which I think is happening soon, and we'll miss her, but man, do I look forward to not hearing David tell her how to fucking live.
Mm-hmm.
From the middle of Super Pantsistan, because shut up.
So she darkly alludes to some terrible thing she did that means she deserves to have tested positive for HIV, but then she won't say what it was. And at this point, I don't remember what she did that he doesn't know about, but we'll get to it. So then Sophie is on the Walsh house phone calling in a huge room service order to the only hotel in town, the Bellage Hotel, which is not how it works, by the way. Like, you can't call in a room service order from outside, I'm pretty sure.
Have tried to do that. Couldn't do it in the 80s. I'm sure you can't do it now.
While this is happening, Val is standing in the doorway eavesdropping. The scam is that they leave the order in the hall, and she will go and eat it, I guess. And Val compliments her on a scam she hadn't thought of herself. Sophie calls it a victimless crime. Val tells her not to hurt Steve. Sophie wants to know more about David, and Val testily says he's not available and basically stakes her claim. Ugh, Val, do better. Really? So then Sophie the scammer shows up in the hotel hallway with a gigantic, like, Yogi Bear picnic basket to pack up the surely now cold breakfast.
Bigger than her. How, like, we have not seen this on her person anywhere. Like, does it fold? It's so, it's so dumb.
It really is. And then she's knocking on David's door to say that breakfast is served because she has laid it all out on the lawn at his place. I want to ask how she even knew where he lived, but I guess it was the past and he was probably in the phone book. But anyway, it's her way of saying she's sorry about the night before. He's clearly not into it, but lets her lead him out and toasts to a fresh start. And he asks about Steve and she says they're just friends and that Steve absolutely knows that, which we know he does not.
Yeah. And also, David, you've been on this show the whole time. You've seen how many times this has happened to Steve with ladies who liked Brandon better. Don't go there. Do not.
Well, he tries. He goes to the beat to check on Steve's intentions. And when Steve says that David can't ask Sophie out because that boat has already sailed, David is satisfied and he leaves. And Steve is so glad that David was cool enough to check. Still predicting trouble ahead. Then Val goes over to David's to cry about being miserable before noticing the dishes from his breakfast with Sophie, which he just brought inside and left on the coffee table he is lying next to. I will never understand men. I'm not saying this isn't realistic. I'm just saying it's infuriating.
Well, and also she, like, having packed up mostly, like, all of the room service materials, including the cloches, which was a dick move. But then she put the caviar in on the top and didn't cover it. Like, you're an idiot. There's going to be fish eggs everywhere. Like, since that's obviously not your stuff, David, tie it up in a tablecloth and throw all of it in the garbage. Plausible deniability. Hello.
Idiot. So Valzal, you and Sophie don't waste any time. And then recaps leading to a revelation in clip 8.
Oh, God.
I love you, David. And you don't love me. Steve wants Sophie. Sophie wants you. Brandon doesn't want Kelly. Kelly wants Brandon.
What's the secret, Val?
No.
Tell me.
No, because when I'm honest with you, you get angry with me for being completely honest. And we both know why. Because some truths aren't worth telling.
I don't believe that.
Yeah, well, you weren't molested by your father, and you don't blame yourself for his death.
His suicide.
His murder. I killed my father, David. Did you hear me? I killed my father.
Cross my palm with silver. What the fuck is that? Music cue. And also, what?
Yeah, I mean, we've had so many different versions of this story. I don't even remember what the last version of record was from when whatever his name from Tom. Is that his name? Tom from Buffalo?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
No, me neither. And, like, they should just do a new one every week. The next one, there's a flashback and a super bright light and then a couple of grays, like, waft in the window and take her father.
Yeah.
Like, her father's on the sixth floor of the Texas School Book Depository. Right. Why not? Like, let's just quantum leap Bad Touch McDad over here, because who cares, apparently.
Well, we still have an A plot to get to, but first, we have a message for Lee.
Lee is a listener to a number of podcasts in the Previously.tv network, but Again With This is the only one she and her daughter Leslie have in common. Aw.
So to mark the occasion of Lee's birthday, we made a special list of ways she could celebrate 90210 mom style.
Number one, blow some rails at a fashion show like Jackie.
Number two, break a sweat at the Mind Gym like Iris.
Number three, keep condoms out of the hands of horny teens like Felice.
Number four, favor her co-star over her own son like Samantha.
And number five, get engaged to a guy she's known for a week like Abby.
But of course we kid. Lee's catchphrase is make good choices, and we know that's exactly what she's going to do on her birthday. Whether listening to this podcast qualifies is not for us to say.
Isn't it? But from all of us and Leslie,
Happy birthday, Lee! On to our A-plot. Brandon and Kelly hate each other more than ever. So as the episode opens, it's right after the wedding, like Donna and Kelly are both still in their dresses.
Quote, unquote.
And they have this exchange in clip 9.
At first, no one could look me in the eye. Then they saw how at peace Brandon and I are.
Oh, that's the wonder of it. You guys are at peace.
Yeah.
The wonder of it?
Mm-hmm.
It's not fucking childbirth. The fucking the wonder of it is that your hair is at least 14 color cards away from what it was this quote morning, unquote.
Right.
What you doing, show?
Yeah.
Anyone?
As we mentioned in our last podcast, there's a lot of hair continuity issues, which are documented in the visual aids at previously.tv. So Brandon, Steve, and Noah are having the same conversation inside. Brandon saying that as the wedding got closer, he and Kelly felt like brother and sister. No kidding. Brandon calls that a good reason for a breakup. And Brandon's Steve, I think, calls that a good reason for a breakup. And Brandon's like, a breakup? Like, it's the first time it occurred to him. And Donna wants to do something, like what? But Kelly and Brandon say they'll be fine and everyone can go when they have. Brandon agrees with Kelly that they will be fine. She didn't get anything to eat, so they go looking for leftovers, and she ends up feeding him a bite of cake. And with her still licking cake off her teeth, which you can see in the visual aids, they start making out, and he carries her up to his room, and they fall on the bed, apparently having stopped at some point in between so she could wash all the icing off of her fingers. But anyway, this happens. Clip 10. God.
Should we be doing this?
I have no idea.
Well, you shouldn't be doing that show, but you keep fucking doing it, and I love it.
I love that they lift in that one little Brandon like grunt right before the music starts.
Oh god, we're so close to being rid of him. So close.
So the next day, Brandon tells Steve that he and Kelly fucked and that he's on his way to find out where that leaves them now. But while he wants to have a talk about their relationship, she's focused on the logistics of getting all the wedding shit out of the house in clip 11.
Kel, about what did happen?
While I'm doing this, I would like it if you call the party supply store, okay?
Kel, about last night.
Have them come and pick up the tables and the dance floor, okay?
Fine. I'll do that as soon as I get to work.
You're going to work?
Is there something else I should be doing?
We just have a lot of loose ends here.
I agree. Unfortunately, you don't want to talk about them.
Baby voice one, Bray zero.
Ugh, yes. And then Steve breaks in to say he thinks they're handling everything really well, which is surely a comfort to them both.
Also, you can't have been more than 8 feet away. You clearly heard that. And if you weren't eavesdropping, you're doing it wrong. So shut up, Steve.
Yeah. So then some broad named Phyllis, and I know you're thinking Jacob's ex-girlfriend from the last episode. No. Old lady who is actually age appropriately named Phyllis, a totally different person, comes by the house to get her purse and ends up telling Donna how much she loved Kelly's gown. Long story short, Donna has a new number one fan and business contact at Rodman's department store, but for some reason, Donna is conflicted about it. And Kelly goes to the beat to return Janet's gift and nag Brandon and his chest hair about the wedding wind down shit.
What the hell? Is he back combing it now?
I know. It's so wispy.
At least he got rid of that stupid, like, keychain material necklace that he was, quote, rocking last year.
Yeah. And I guess we're far enough away from swingers that he's not doing ugly ties anymore. But anyway. Yeah.
We'll see.
So she's there to nag him about the wedding wind down shit that he hasn't done yet. But it turns out what she's actually mad about is the decision that they made together, as we hear in clip 12.
Why are you angry at me?
Because you said you were going to do something and you didn't.
We wouldn't have been happy, Kel.
I need you to remind me why.
Because us staying together, we were just holding on to the past. We weren't getting on with our futures.
Last night made me feel sad.
I felt connected.
So did I. Incredibly, and that's what hurts.
I don't know exactly how that feels.
I don't think you do. I mean, look at you. You're just going about your day.
That's how I deal, Kel.
Like nothing happened.
It's just how I deal.
I think we made the wrong decision. Do you?
Kel, wait.
Just forget it.
Sad. I mean, clarinet is sad for some reason because they hate each other.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I see her point in that these are the same kinds of dumb fights that they had when they were supposedly in love or whatever, but like, it's so dumb.
Well, yeah. Like, go to Corsica with Donna is what you should have done. Sex in the City style. Just like bring your, you know, bring your gal pals on your honeymoon. Mm-hmm. Like, just, yeah, no. Because this is not helping.
Yeah, pull a Mamma Mia 2 and show how much fun it is to be a real slut when you're on vacation. I say that lovingly. So Donna ends up showing Kelly's gown to Phyllis's friend from Rodman's. He wants to display the dress in the store to build buzz or something, but she's not sure that Kelly will be okay with it. And so she asks Kelly about it over drinks, and Kelly obviously doesn't want Donna to give it away, but passive aggressively says that she can. Meanwhile, Brandon and the other gang dudes and David's giant pants walk on the beach while Brandon tries to justify his decision not to marry Kelly. It is dumb. Clip 13.
I mean, it's not just the age thing. Kelly and I, we're too much alike, you know? We're like the same half of a circle.
Oh,
we don't complete each other.
Come on. You know, I hear what you're saying, but circles and choices. Okay, she's beautiful, right? Mm-hmm. She's smart.
Mm-hmm.
She's sexy.
And I love her, but marriage was like this huge thing that was swallowing us whole.
So take the marriage out of the equation and things will be cool.
Take the fact that I proposed out of the equation. And the fact that she accepted. The fact that we sent out invitations. Her dress, the minister, the string quartet, the honeymoon reservations. If you take all of those things out of the equation, yeah, we're cool.
I mean, I'm sure it has happened in world history that a couple has decided not to get married but then continued with their relationship, but I don't think that is normal.
Well, I don't know. Like, I feel like all the relationships I know where they got to this point that was like, you got to get married or get out kind of thing. Like,
yeah,
move on, like break up or move forward.
Mm-hmm.
They all chose to get married and they were all divorced in a year. So,
right.
But I think they would all look back at it and be like, okay, so we should have just broken up. But you break up. Like,
yeah.
It's not, you don't just be like, okay, well, we're not going to have the party. But we'll still stay together. Like, if the idea was you have to, you know, move forward or move on.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not, like, if you're, okay, we're going to move forward. Oh, just kidding. We're going to go back to what we were doing. Like, I just don't think that's a thing.
I also suspect that none of the couples that you know where that was the case ended up, what had occasioned the proposal was wanting to get out of an awkward conversation, and that was the solution in the moment.
Maybe. I think one of them it actually was.
Oh.
Yeah. And she was like, fine, let's just get married. And he was like, fine, cool, great. And then they got married, and now they're not married anymore. Like... Look, shit happens.
True.
I get it. We're not always our smartest.
Sure.
During these fights, but yeah, I don't. It's also just really hard to like plug into any relatability with this because they're both so hateful. It's like, oh my God, like why does anyone know either of you? Never mind you knowing each other. Fuck off.
Honestly, for real. So at the club, some dude asks Kelly to dance and she says she has a boyfriend and Janet and Donna are like, what? But don't say anything. And Brandon thinks he's doing great until he goes to get in his car, which still has just married on the back windshield faintly and dry shaving cream. And Kelly ends up back in her bedroom crying because she's unpacking her suitcase, not on her honeymoon. And Brandon pokes his bruise by watching the wedding video that somehow contains footage of people on their way into the wedding, which was yesterday. Again, everything about this video makes zero sense.
Oh God. And then within 7 days, the phone is going to ring and then he'll be dead. Like,
oh my God. I wish.
The Bray.
And then Steve taped a golf tournament over the wedding video because David, the amazing AV savant, didn't break off the little tabby on the tape. And Val rolls up to say that Brandon's really mad about all the memories he's not going to be able to create with Kelly. And Brandon is not trying to hear that. And in the middle of gift returnathon, Kelly goes to poke her bruise by stopping to look at her ex-wedding dress in the window. Donna says that she will find someone else, and Kelly is like, what if he was the one? And Donna says, if he were, she would have married him, which is actually a pretty good and solid thing to say under the circumstances, and considering it's Donna. But Kelly wants to take everything back, and then Brandon shows up at her place later to Bray in clip 14.
If you came here to remind me that you moved on...
I didn't. And I haven't.
Been 2 days, so cool.
The other night was a mistake.
This is different.
Why are you here?
Because this isn't easy. Because I'm scared.
So am I.
Okay. Don't see each other for 90 days. If you still love each other, get back together. This is a rule. It's a good one. Follow it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Also, but it's been 2 days. Like, why can't I just, like, if you've come here to tell me you've moved on, like, it was like two sleeps ago.
Yeah. Yes. Like, and on the first sleep,
when
you
are
fucked,
we right
so...
now? Yeah, right. I don't. When are we right now?
Honestly. Anyway, the next morning, they're snuggled up on a deck chair in clip 15.
After the wedding, it felt like we were together to say goodbye. But last night, holding each other just felt so much more
intimate.
Yeah. And gentle and loving.
Ugh,
lower register, Jenny Garth. Jesus Christ. I feel like I'm watching kiddie porn. This is fucked up. Stop
it's
using
so
that
disgusting.
Voice. Also, his tone in like a single word in that scene is like intimate. It's like he's trying not to vom in her hair.
Oh, God. Honestly.
It's almost over.
Yes, it is. So she suggests that they go on their honeymoon anyway, and he gives her the flat loathing face we all love, but doesn't say no, but then he hugs her, continuing to look distressed. And at the beat, Steve and Janet are both trying to talk Brandon out of going to Corsica on his honeymoon because they can tell he doesn't really want to give Kelly false hope, but he won't fully admit that that is the case. Dress update, big order for Donna. Brandon then goes to the beach apartment again, and shit gets awkward fast in clip 16.
Hi.
Hi.
Come on in.
I can't do it. Last night was different and everything, but it's just not enough.
But you came to me.
I was scared.
After I told you how I felt.
I wanted to feel the same way.
You needed comforting, and I gave it to you. Well, I need comforting now, Brandon, and tomorrow and the day after that, who's going to give it to me then?
Kelly, can't you see we're just holding on to each other because we're scared to move on? Calling off the wedding was the easy part. It's getting on with our lives that's difficult.
But that's what you want to do.
I don't know.
I deserve a better answer than that, Brandon.
I'm sorry, but yeah. Yeah, that's what I want.
Overdue.
Ugh.
He did you a favor, Cat Buttmouth.
He really
celebrate.
Did. So then she goes into her room and throws a present at the door that's still wrapped. Like, it's not the gravy boat's fault, Kelly. Get
also, like, unwrap it and really, like, throw a fucking slider so that it breaks and you can feel satisfaction for a split second at throwing things and having them break. That's the point of it.
Right.
It's just this impotent, like, clump. You're like, oh.
Yep. But that's the end of the episode. So, yay! Let us name our MVP. Sophie, at least making things slightly interesting, if absurd.
Yeah, and she did get free caviar out of it. I don't know what's up with that picnic basket, but she's a pro.
Least valuable player. David, still a fucking shithead, and yet somehow the person that Val thinks is the right one to confide in about her murder of her father.
Oh, God, if that's even a thing. There's so many to choose from, but I am going to go with Rodman, LLC, and the window dressers employed thereby.
Yeah, fair enough. All right. We have a user submitted challenge.
I scored some amazing stones.
At the crazed spruce had written five ways the show would have been improved if insert new character here had been on the show the whole time. So let's go with our new character from this episode, Sophie. Five ways the show would have been improved if she had been on the show the whole time. Obviously, the number one is she and Val could have exponentially grown their scheming powers by scheming together.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. And like getting a spinoff.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, if she had hooked up with David in the first place, maybe Val never would have, and we would be spared all this mushy, sobby bullshit that we're getting from Val.
That's true. Brandon could have cheated on Kelly with Sophie instead of Emma, and it would have been way more fireworky and permanent, I have a feeling.
If they knew that Sophie was going to be standing near Donna, then Donna's red dye job would have been probably a lot more pleasant to look at and effectively done.
Oh, yeah, true.
And I think we need one more.
Just try, like, there's so many ways in which the show is like it'll just defy even its own attempts.
Okay, I think I have one. If she'd been on longer, then by this point in the series run, she might have actually achieved her goal of making it big and getting famous somehow, and then we would have been introduced to a lot more interesting storylines surrounding that.
Oh yes, that's good.
There we go.
There you go. Next time on Again With This, Brandon ascends the bully pulpit one last time, right? Let's hope. When the clinic loses its funding, Steve continues to lose his funding to Sophie's con, whatever the opposite of artistry is. Noah loses the toot for 5 minutes to bond with Ray Wise. Belle loses even more faith in humanity when Abby reveals she knew about the abuse all along. You'll be losing your lunch when you get a load of our visual aids for this and every other episode of Again With This. You can find those on our website at previously.tv. You can follow that website on Twitter at previously.tv, and you can follow this very podcast at AWT90210. I'm Age Thing, Sarah D. Bunting, and I am on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My co-host is gentle and loving Tara Ariano. Aww. She is on Twitter, sorry, at Tara Ariano.
Gross.
And our producer, David T. Cole, is too good to be doing jingles. Talk to you next time.
Hi, you know what to do after the beeparoonie.
Intimate. Sorry.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network.